Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
AD.
Yo.
In the wise words of former 49ers assistant Mike McDaniel, I'm not going to apologize for a win. Oh, boy, but do I have some issues. Your boy got some issues today, ED.
Okay.
This is the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. Plenty to get to on this show. Niners win their fourth in a row. Right, we get to hand out some game balls. Who we hand out our game balls to? ED will have some. I'll have some as well. We'll break down this whole game, this win over the New Orleans Saints, the 13-0 nail biter. That is, this defense continues to show up. So we'll talk about that as well. But as always, we want to encourage you to continue to download, subscribe, rate, and review. We're located wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or a follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead and hit that like or follow button. Feel free to get involved in this show on social media. I'm at R. Haylock on Twitter. He is at underscore Eric Davis underscore. And on Instagram, I am at Watch Ray Ray. He is at ED25. As always, we are brought to you by the fine folks at Bet Online. Hey, now, whoever said progress was a slow process wasn't talking about me. Look, basketball's here, football's here. Look, whatever you want, Bet Online has you covered. They remain your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. Where do we start with this one, ED? First, game balls. Who you got?
Oh, I mean, you pitched a shutout. I'm going across the board. The only way you do that is for you to have a day defensively. And the guys put it together, found a way. When they needed a big hit, they got a big hit. When they needed a stop, they got a stop. They needed a turnover, they got turnovers. When your offense didn't show up, what do? You pull out the DIY kit. That's what they did. No complaints. Game balls across everybody on the defense. It's rare that I do that. You know that. But You pitch a shutout when you have to pitch a shutout. I like it.
DIY. Sounds like my wedding, ED. Wifey and I got cracking on the whole DIY placeholders and table centers and all those little fun things that you put at the tables for all your wedding guests. Look, I said it last week, you know, I mean, as long as this defense continue to pitch shutouts in the second half, long as the streak continues, I'm going to give a game ball to the entire defense. And they upped the ante, right? They said, you know, I'll raise your two quarter. I'll see your two quarters and I'll raise you two more. They went the whole game, the duration of that whole thing, all 60 minutes. So my game ball goes to the defense, and it was much needed. The shutout certainly was. I mean, you talk about two goal line stands, incredible Huff coming down, jarring that ball loose from Premier. You're talking about big time plays down there at the goal line and to salvage it. So yeah, that's where my game ball goes to. I'm sticking with the theme here. You and I are in agreement on that. And so that's where we land. So I said issues at the top of the show.
You did. I can't wait.
It's maybe issues, maybe a stretch. It's a little perplexing.
Okay.
Maybe is a better word, right?
Okay.
I'm looking at this and 13-0. Offense probably left some points out there. I'm not sure how many points they really left out there, to be perfectly honest with you.
Not a lot.
I don't. Yeah. Right. I mean.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If I'm being honest, maybe three. I mean, like, I don't know. There are a whole lot of points that they left out on the field, right? I mean,
yeah, they didn't leave a lot. I mean, even there was one pass that early in the game, and people were tweeting me because you know how I always tweet during the game. And then there was one pass that Ten missed to, was it McCaffrey up the sideline on a swing pass or something like that? And everyone was, you know, and guys were talking about, you know, the quarterback this, that, and blah blah blah.
No wheel route. Jimmy can't hit the wheel route.
The wheel route, yeah. And I was like, and what I responded back to him, I said, okay, he left a 20-yard play on the field. They still would have had to do more to score. It's not like that they were going against a slouch of a defense. So didn't leave a lot out there.
So, and that's the thing, right? So they didn't leave a lot out there, right? And so I say maybe three. I didn't necessarily agree with any of Kyle's fourth down calls deep in the red zone. The first one led to three. The second one, I have no idea what I mean. Jimmy missed the throw at the pylon to Jennings, ended up coming short. They go for it on fourth, and then I don't know what he saw, but he decided to tuck and run, and that just wasn't popping, right? That just was not.
Yeah.
And so, but it's, and we go back to this, right? And
all right, you know what? Let me say something, right? No, I'm going to let you finish this, but I got to get back to that.
No, you go, because I don't want you to
forget. Well, no, I'm going to say, you know, Jenny, where it's like, okay, Jimmy missed a throw to Jennings where he had to stop and it was a little bit behind him and all that, right?
Yeah.
And when they were saying that, I think Mark Sanchez even said something about that. But Jennings, run that a yard deep into the end zone.
You got to run a crisper route, right?
Absolutely. You got to run that into the end zone.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, run to the end zone.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I didn't necessarily agree with any of the fourth down calls. One led to three. The other one, you know, you get stopped, fourth and goal. Thank God the defense showed up, right? But when I look at this, and you
fourth and goal never should happen. Kick the field goal. Keep going. My bad.
And you got on me, and this has been kind of my ongoing thing here, right? And it's pass attempts, right? And look, defense showed up. You get a win. I'm not going to be salty because truth be told, like if this would have went the other way, I'd have been hella salty today. Right. And if I'm being a buck, I was not completely confident going into this one. Right. Like I could see an L coming out of this one. Right. This is going into it. Right. So I'm not going to go there with it. However, you start to get up and up there in attempts. This cannot be a recipe for success. It simply cannot. But where I am with it, but then the other side of that coin is, you say whatever you want to say about Dennis Allen as a head coach. It went kind of whatever with the Raiders. He got his chance here with New Orleans, what have you. The reason why he's getting these chances is because he's a fantastic defensive coordinator.
There he is.
That defense, it almost seems as if they were in the Niners huddle for the especially during that first half. During that first half, right?
Well, that's the part that you got to bring into play, bro, because I know it. I'm sorry for cutting you off, and I hope I don't mess up your train of thought. But you're talking about the passing attempts. You could not run the ball. Dennis Allen knew what was coming. And everyone, and I was getting those tweets, and they were talking about running the ball and all this stuff, and they're getting their butts kicked, the offensive line. And I kept telling guys, it's hard to play when they know what you're doing. And somebody was like, Trent's tipping it. I'm like, no, you see personnel, you see formations, you know. I was sitting there at times saying, okay, this is about to be a fly sweep to Debo. This is about to be a toss pitch that's going – I could see it. If I'm starting to read the pattern, just watching it, the guys who are studying it and looking at every snap and every tendency and what you do on the hash and what you do first and 10 after a kickoff, what you do first and 10 after a punt, what you do after a game first and 10 within a drive. When you start looking at things like that, you pick up patterns. And Dennis was right. He was right. So now what happens is that Kyle has to go back to the lab. They got to look, do the self-scouting and start saying, okay, what are our tendencies? Because you haven't been doing it well enough because the team just caught up to you. And that's what happened. That's why he had to throw the ball. Kyle wants to run the ball, but the run wasn't working. It wasn't working.
Well, and so that's what happened, right? You get behind the sticks and you have to throw the ball, right?
Yes.
And so for me, we talked about it last week, and I'm looking at Mexico and said it right here on this pod, that performance offensively needs to be the standard. This team took a step back on Sunday against the Saints. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you said in terms of being able to run the football. Now, them stopping it and your commit, like, so where do you fall on that in terms of them stopping it and then how committed you're going to be to the run game?
Okay, you won a game by three scores.
Two scores.
Okay, two scores. You won a game by 13.
You're talking about the Saints game.
Right. 13. Yeah, Saints game. You're right. Two scores. You won it by two scores. I look at it as three scores because I'm saying you can score a touchdown and you can kick two field goals.
But that's what the Niners did.
and so that's three scores. So what I'm saying is that you touchdown through, that's three scores. But I get what you're saying too, but it's a two score game. Semantics right there. But you do that. You did it against a good defense. So you beat a good defense by two scores. Now, fortunately for you, it was a day where you only needed to score twice. You needed a touchdown in those field goals. You should have had another field goal anyway. They should have gotten 6 points early on. There was no reason to do that. The way the defense was playing, I don't understand that decision. You make them have to score a touchdown. You take some of that pressure. Your defense is playing that type of football, pitching a shutout. Why not take some pressure off of them and make a team have to score a touchdown to beat you, as opposed to leaving it where a touchdown can beat you? Why would you – that's what I keep talking about. You can't waste this defense. Why would you possibly put a defensive performance in position to be wasted like that? When they're doing that's why I'm like, some of the times, some of the things Kyle does, and a lot of people like, that's showing your balls and all of this type stuff and being tough. Like, no, that's not smart. That's not smart. I mean, defensively, if I'm out there, yeah, I know it's my job to stop them from scoring. And that's what I plan on doing. But damn, come on, man. Like you truly want me to pitch a shutout? Like, those are professional. But with that being said, okay, the Saints defense does not suck, number one, especially when they have their players out there, when they have their regular rotation out there. And then on top of that, you've already touched on the fact that DA is a good defensive game planner and play caller. He's good. and has been for a long time. And they performed well. They performed well. I don't necessarily think it was a step back. Every game is not going to be a 30-point game. You've seen it from Buffalo. You've seen it from the Chiefs. I mean, you've seen it from, I mean, you put up the high scoring teams that have been, you've seen it from Philly this year. You've seen it from Miami.
Scoring is down. Scoring is down in the league this year.
What I'm saying, even the teams that are scoring well, you're going to have that performance where they go up against a team that just plays ball and you're not going to put up those big numbers. But with that being said, they were still able to move the ball. So this is what I told you back in the day when they were running the ball. And I was like, it's not the yardage, it's the commitment to it. This game right here, they were still able to sustain drives. They weren't going three and out. So think about this, where you were talking about the offense, like they took a step back. No, they were sustaining drives. They were giving the defense a time to rest. They were moving the ball, moving the chains, putting themselves in position to do something, and then they just miss a play here or there.
And that's the perplexing thing to me, right? Because it's like you told me back in the day, we first started this pod, yards don't win games, points do, right?
Yeah.
And to your point, right? They're racking up the first downs, they're moving the sticks, they're moving the ball, they're accumulating all these yards.
Yeah.
You scored 13 points.
But that's all they needed.
That's all they needed.
They could have won 1-0. So you got to look at the situation in the day, the game. And someone will say, well, you can't do that against Miami. Well, I got to wait until I see Miami. I got to wait. I don't know if you can do that.
I see what you're saying, but I think it's safe to say, like, I don't know that you can go in every game thinking you're going to win 13-0.
Oh, no, and they don't. They don't. They're not going into any game expecting to win 13-0. The defense is not going into a game expecting to win 13-0. You're going into a game expecting your offense to give you three scores. Now, the day may come to where that ain't the case. A couple of years ago, they had like a top five defense, and they went down to New Orleans and gave up 40.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So the offense had to score 41 for you to win. That's what happens sometimes, and there's nothing you can do about it. As good as this defense is, you played Kansas City, and you got thumped. You couldn't stop Kansas City to save your life. So that's why it depends on the day. So, no, you're not going into the game expecting to win 13-0. No, you're not. But it's nice to know that you can. It's a confidence builder that you did. You know that the defense is capable of keeping you in a game like that while you're figuring it out, which gives you an opportunity to figure out a lot of different things and also to take other chances and start to do other things because you know that you can and did win that type game. So when you get in those situations, that's what I like about them moving forward and why I can't wait for the Miami game that we'll get into later in the week. That's why I kind of like some of the things that have happened. You've played ugly football and you lost. You had to figure out how to do certain things and what it took for you to get yourself into this situation. And now you got a win streak going, 4 games in a row. You figured out what you need to do to play your brand of football and put yourself in the best situations to do it. And in the process of doing that, you also played a good team and got your ass kicked. So you learned some things that you need to do. And I would imagine that ass kicking taught you some things that you can't do. And I think moving forward, now that you're going to start playing better teams and the expectations has to be that you have to rise, that's what I want to look at. But I don't think they took a step back in a game that you played a team that came in with their season on the line. Remember, you're playing teams right now that know that if we don't get some wins right now, our season's over.
It's over. Yeah.
That team was playing for first place in their division. So we're just stuck on the NFC West. In the NFC South, that was a game that they could possibly put themselves in first place in the playoffs if they win.
Yeah.
You don't think they came ready to play?
Yeah.
It was obvious they came ready to play. So that's what I'm saying, man. You got to don't. I know you always get on the ledge and you're ready to jump. You got to look at the big picture and how it all plays out. Who you're playing against, what's on the line, how important is it to them, whether or not they have the talent to match up. Football's a game of matchups. Do they have the talent to match up and cause you problems? That defensive front could cause this offensive line problems. They can cause anybody problems. They do. So do you have that? And can you win the day? They won the day 13-0. I'm good with it. Don't apologize for a win, bro.
they certainly did win that. More on this in a sec. This is the Believe in 49ers podcast. But first, this from ButcherBox.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, ED. So we established we're not going to apologize for a win. I'm with you on that, right? That's how I started off this podcast.
Everybody that this is Believe in 49ers.
Tell people. Go ahead.
Hey, I mean, that's just it. I just want you to let everybody know it's Believe in 49ers. Yeah, this is Believe Network. That's it.
That's right. We not going to apologize for a win. I started the pod.
Never.
But here's the thing, though, to me, and it's that fine line with the run not working, and then how committed are you going to be to the run? And so the most impressive drive of the game for me didn't involve any points. Came at the end of the game. Defense forces the goal line stands like 6+ minutes left in the game. Offense never gave up the ball. They never gave the ball back. They closed out the game. They ran near 4+ minute offense and sealed the deal. And that was all run plays, with the exception of one pass. It was all run plays. And so you start to total up some of those attempts, but those numbers get kind of skewed because that was sort of the end of the game, right? But when you look at it prior to that last drive, right? I think they ran the ball like 7 times on that drive. Prior to that drive, just 20 rush attempts, somewhere in the neighborhood of 33, 34 pass attempts. Are you okay with that ratio?
Prior to that drive, what was the score?
It was 13-0. They put the game away. That was the drive to put the game away.
So prior to that drive, you're saying, am I okay with that ratio? Prior to that drive, they were winning 13-0. I think they were okay. Why would I have a problem with it? Worked out.
I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm talking about going forward. To me, that can't be the recipe.
Listen, it was the recipe on Sunday. Now, the recipe, just like I said the previous week when you were like, you can't do that. I'm like, so you're telling me 2 more pass attempts would have taken them over the edge to a loss? No, it depends on the day, the opponent, what's happening, what's working, what's not working. That's just the way it is. Number one, we know the philosophy of this team. If they can run the ball, they are going to run the ball. If we know that. If you don't stop, just like that last drive, that they've been throwing the ball all game long and the run wasn't working, he would, if he had to throw the ball to get a first down, he was going to. When it came up, he did, right? But I'm going to run the ball. If you can't stop me from running the ball, Kyle is going to run the ball like it's Pop Warner. That's what he's going to do.
And that's the most success they had running the ball all day, right?
Well, that's what happens because now that's the most success they had, because the Saints right now, as much as they wanted the ball back, that was what you just said. That was a team that has found themselves, as I was saying earlier, I think they found themselves, they know who they are, and they know, okay, now it was time to sing them a lullaby.
See, I look at that a whole different way than you do.
Okay.
That was the most success they had running the ball all game, right? Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we agreed. Dennis Allen, he was doing his thing. He was in Kyle's huddle. He was in his head. Yep. He was on his play sheet. He was everywhere, right?
Yep.
That last goal line stand by the defense broke the back of the Saints.
Oh, yeah, it took their heart.
At that point, they were done.
Yeah, it took their heart. So now offensively.
Offensively, you were able to do that.
Well, offensively, look, now, again, as I said, it's the situation. It's the moment. Do you think the Saints players went out there on the field not trying to get the ball back? Do you think they went out there saying, I'm going to allow you to run it? No, that was an offense that says, you know what? Since we know that the tide just changed and that drained them, sing them a lullaby, choke them out right now. It's time. And every team can't do that.
You think a little bit of that carried over to the Saints defense also?
A little bit carried to the Saints? They want the ball. Those guys are coming back. But you don't think
they were impacted by that Niners defense goal line stand? You don't think that impacted the Saints defense as well when they went back on the field?
Yes, it did. But I also know that the Saints players walked that. So I'm saying emotionally, like you're pissed off that, like, I can't believe that just happened. But now you go out there into the huddle like, we got to get the ball back, because that's your job. That's your job. You can't. There's not one single person in the defensive huddle that can stop Kamara from fumbling. Not a single person that could do anything about that. So when you take the field, now you are a human being. Are you effing kidding me? He did not just drop that ball. Yeah. That when that happens, but then you get out there in the huddle and you snap up, I got to get the ball back because I still have time. If we go three and out right now, they got the ball on the 2-yard line. And that's what we would have been in a huddle. Like, look, if we stop them three and out right here, we're going to get the ball at midfield. So we got a shot at scoring quickly and getting right back in it. Because remember, it was, as you pointed out, it was a 2-score game. So you score a touchdown, you're in a dogfight, right? So there we go. So defensively, that's how you hit it. Yes, you felt the emotion of that. But offensively, the Niners, they came out and did what you've been wanting them to do. Put them to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby.
That's why I call it the most impressive drive of the game. That was the most impressive drive of the game for me. Didn't result in any points or anything like that, but that's what that was. But I also think that was a large part of that happened because of what happened with the defense did, with Nick Bosa's sack that ended up another goal-to-goal situation.
That was big for
the Saints offense. Like that, that play broke the back of the Saints, in my opinion. The entire team.
Yes and no, because they still had time. And I'm just saying, I get what you're saying, and I know football is emotion, but there's so much ebb and flow and so much emotion throughout every game, every drive. I mean, the very first drive that they had, and then they fumbled the ball. Those things, it gets you, man. And so all of those plays affect you. I mean, you get an interception, you're getting ready to take it to the house, and then someone on the backside of the field, they threw a flag on that, which was not, that should have been an interception.
That was a tough call.
And I thought, oh boy, ran the wrong route. I was like, why, like,
well, he got bumped by the mic. So
that's what happened. So he bumped him. So
McCloud is coming. He's running that
and he bumped him.
He got bumped. So that took him off a beat. And then
And so Jimmy threw the ball. Jimmy threw the ball in the window. He should have been in, and he wasn't there because he got bumped.
He got bumped.
You can't get bumped. But the flag was
nowhere near.
The flag was on the other side of the ball, and the flag wasn't a flag. But
I mean, they got a break.
So, and they got a break, and that's football. So now what I'm saying, the emotion of a play like that, when you look up there on the screen and you see that, and you're like, are you kidding me? See, I mean, a play like that can take you out. So I'm saying there's so much that happens in a game where things like that go on to where you're just like, you have got to be kidding me. But you still block it out, and you truly go on to the next play and you do your job. So those guys knew they had to get off the field, and they couldn't, because at that point, at that time, that same emotion where you say it broke their hearts, then it energized the Niners, and they came out and said, you know what, let's take advantage of it. And that's what you have to do in a game. Like if I see you limping, I'm going to apply pressure. That's just the way it is. If I see you limping, that's how it is. You play a game, man. You play a game, and I know you got a bad hamstring or knee or ankle or something, and you come out here, I'm pressing. I'm in your face all day long. I'm pressing you. I'm tugging on you. When we walking back to the huddle, I got my hands on your shoulder pads, and I'm weighing you down. You guys, but you got a hurt shoulder. I see that. You got that AC joint. I mean, I'm pressing you. I'm pushing you. I'm trying to throw you in the piles. I'm making you have to block me. I'm gonna make you use that arm. That's the game, man. So guess what? If you're emotionally scarred, you can be physically fine. But if you're emotionally scarred, guess what? I'm gonna test your head. And that's what the Niners did in that drive. So I personally have no problems with the way they performed. Like I said, I looked at it and it wasn't, they're getting outplayed, and people were telling me that they're getting their butts kicked and they're this. And I was like, no, they just know what's coming and they're playing it well. And when you know what's coming, you're supposed to make it tough on an opponent. That's what the Saints did. But the Niners still found ways to get first downs, to get points. Should have had 3 more points. And then it wouldn't have looked, I don't think you would have felt as bad if it was 16 to nothing, would you? As opposed to 13 to nothing.
I think I probably would have.
That was a good defensive performance.
This has nothing
to do with it. Actually, they should have scored a touchdown on one of those on that goal line stand. I think they could have gotten a touchdown on one of them. But
this has nothing to do with the defense. This is all right, nothing to do with the Niners defense. I'm pleased with what they're.
Oh no, I'm talking about the offense.
Look, I mean, you give Dennis Allen and the Saints credit for, you know, all the credit in the world. I mean, obviously, look, they got some guys over there, right? I mean, Cam Jordan is a dude. They were able to get him back. Chris Harris, you know, his best years may be behind him, but he's still pretty good in his own right. Look, Tyrann Mathieu is a guy that I wanted the Niners to go after in the offseason. They were unable to land, so they got some pieces over there, and they got a guy leading them, and Dennis Allen that know, like, they knew what was going on. At least it appeared that way. So 16-0, would I have felt better? No. 21-0, I'd have felt great about it. Drop the sticks. Let's go home. But that wasn't the case. So
yeah. So and see, I don't see much of a difference in the way they perform. I really don't. I mean, we can. It's obviously we can do the math, you know, with the touch, but I don't see much difference in the way they performed. I think one of the field goal, I think they should have had another field goal easily. And I think one of the field goals could have possibly been a touchdown. But I don't see much. I don't see the lack of efficiency that I think you see because of the high level that the defense performed. Well, they didn't miss plays. Plays weren't there to be made because the Saints were making plays. That's how I feel about it.
I see what you're saying there. And that's the perplexing thing for me. But off top, I already got an issue with the first field goal. You know how I feel about turnovers, right? You got turnovers in the 7, not 3.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about that. So off top, I already got an issue with that first one. And then you probably should have had a second one. That didn't happen. you decide to go for it. And
yeah, when it was 3-0, I think it should have been. I'm with you on it. At 3-0 going into the half, I think it should have been 10-0 right there. That's what that's how I think it should have been. Because, right, wasn't it 3-0 at the half? Because I think first drive they could have got a touchdown, should have got a touchdown. And then you kick a field goal.
It was 10-0 at the half.
Okay, so I think it should have been, they should have had another touchdown.
14 at the half?
I think it should have been 14, well, 17, because I think you should have kicked a field goal or whatever.
Oh, you see, there you go.
Yeah.
So now you're moving on into my territory.
Yeah, but still, 17. So the game would have ended that way.
That's legit three possessions.
So, but the game would have ended 17-0 instead of 13-0. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that much off. And you would have been happy with 17-0. You would have been happy.
Happier. Happier.
So that's what I'm saying. The Saints, the Saints played good football. The Niners played better football. And I think that they are learning how to win with what they have. And that's important. At this point in the season, the Niners are what now? What's the record? 7-4?
7-4. First place in the West.
7-4. So at 7-4, you have played.
I sound 11... very entitled, don't I?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you do. But at 11, after playing 11 games, you are what you are. This is it. Nothing's going to change. This is this team. They're not going to all of a sudden come out and be a 45-point a game team for a streak. They may have a 45-point game, but that's not who they are.
By no means am I expecting that. But after, and look, it's a tough comparison, right? I mean, the Cardinals defense, I didn't expect the Niners offense to perform as well as they did against the Cardinals defense down in Mexico. I thought that group was a little bit better than they showed. But granted, I still don't think they're on the level of a Saints defense by any means. So by comparison, but I just think what we saw in Mexico, I thought would be an example of what we were seeing, what we would see kind of going forward. And to me, it was the reason why I say it was a bit of a step back is because, like you said at the top, the running game was not there. But the running game was not there because it was taken away. How many other, like, it's on tape now, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got other DCs. They're gonna pull this tape out, right? I mean, and this ain't the first time people.
Oh, they've already been doing it.
Exactly, right? This ain't the first time people have been able to try to take the run away, or that they're going to, or now they got something else that they could probably use to help them going forward facing this Niners offense. So when that happens, right, is all this offense can muster is 13 points? That's a problem. That's gonna be a problem.
No, well, number one, again, is the situation. It's the defense you're playing against and how they match up against you. And you got to look at that, okay? How they match up against you. Now, easiest thing, they're going to break their own tendencies. They're going to start to do some things to break their own tendencies. Kyle is smart enough. He's been a coach long enough in the NFL to know how to do that. And he's going to do that. They'll do some things. The self-scouting, he's going to look at this like, how did they know that? Like, how did they play that so well? I mean, the offensive staff is already on that. They've already dove into that and looked into that. And because they're like, how did they know this was happening? What's tipping off? What is it we're doing? And they're going to look at themselves. They're going to self-scout. Every football team does that. That's number one. Number two, if you load up to stop something, if I line up and say, you are not throwing the ball deep against me, okay, you won't throw the ball deep, but you got to give up something. So are you going to give up the underneath coverage, the intermediate area, or are you going to allow me to be able to run the ball? Because you can take something away. Like I can play Miami and say there is no way Tyreek Hill is ever going to get a ball deep. And I can put in the defense that is going to umbrella and put a roof on top of it, and there's no way you're going to get outside of this roof. I can do that. But now by doing so, I'm going to leave something else open. Now, the question is, are you willing to continue to try to bump your head on the roof, or are you going to take advantage of what I give you? So back to Kyle. If you decide you're going to stop the run, do you have the players on your defense? If you're going to attack the run like this, do you have the players that can stop Debo, that can stop Ayuk, that can stop Kittle. And then on third down, you got to deal with Juwan. So do you have the players that can do that? Because I do have a quarterback that can get the ball to him. Y'all can say it's the Yaks or whatever it is, but I got a quarterback that can deliver the ball to them and allow them to do that. So that's it. It still turns into pick your poison. It's one of those deals. So he'll break his tendencies, and every coach, and this is the other thing, even knowing what I'm going to do, you still have to execute it and stop it. You got to have the players smart enough and athletic enough to stop it. Because just because you know I'm doing it doesn't mean you can stop it. That's number one. Do you have the pieces for your X to match up with my O? And then what if I change something? You don't have to change but one or two things. Because if this formation and this down and distance and this hash mark, I've done this, and you saw it last week, and it was dead nuts on. That team figured it out. Well, guess what? I know they figured it out too. So be prepared for the counter off of that. And once I do that once or twice on something you think you know, oh, hell, there goes that tendency.
And now you got a Miami team coming in that's going to have – you're going to have to counter the counter to the counter, which both these staffs know each other particularly well. So that'll be interesting coming up. That's the next one.
The team that decides to not try to do all the trickery and just do what they do will have the most success.
A little prequel into the preview, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. As always, we want to continue to encourage you to download, subscribe, rate, and review located wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead and hit that like or follow button. Get involved in the show. On Twitter, I'm at RHaylock. He is at @EricDavis_. And on Instagram, I'm at WatchRayRay. He is at ED25. Oh, some news. Obviously, Niners, you would have hoped they would have come out of this one a lot healthier. Looks like Eli is going to be out. Elijah Mitchell is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a sprained MCL. Burford went down too. Spencer Burford looks like he may be okay, according to the reporting out there from Jennifer Lee Chan, also David Lombardi as well from The Athletic. Jennifer from NBC Sports Bay Area. So we'll get into
wait,
that.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. One thing I want to say right here, because I was about to get to that before we left, and then we can go up after this. Remember when Christian McCaffrey came and you were like, I don't get it, and why you do this and all this stuff? And I said, Kyle, that's a John move. He knows Kyle needs a running back. He's got to have a running back, a certain type running back, for his offense to work. And he's trying to give him an opportunity. And you were like, you could have used that on the lineman and you could have done this. And I was like, nope, I'm okay with it. Aren't you okay with it now? Especially with Mitchell going back down.
Well, yeah, but the thinking at the time was you still had Jeff Wilson.
Okay, and I was telling you at the time. The thinking at the time, I said he's got to have a running back that can run his offense the way he wants it run, and Jeff Wilson wasn't that guy. Jeff Wilson had never been that guy. Jeff Wilson knew he wasn't that guy. That's why he asked to get traded.
A lot of talk coming out of Miami, too, in the last couple of days. We'll have to get into that as well. But I'm glad someone's there. Absolutely. You're right about that. I am glad someone is there. But I'm obviously a lot higher on Jeff Wilson than you are. So
I
was higher on radio than you were. So
it's not a knock on any of them. I'm just saying, if you've been in the league,
you're talking about a bona fide dude, which McCaffrey is.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, like, with Mostert, I told you about Mostert. They're not going to build their offense around Mostert because no one has. And that's the same thing with Wilson. Like, he's not that guy. He's been on the team too long. He would have had an opportunity to be that guy by now. Nobody gets hidden that long. And I'm sorry. Everyone in the NFL is good. So everyone is capable of having a stretch like Mostert had. He had an outstanding stretch and he did it, but he had never done it before. And I doubt if he's ever going to do it again. That was his moment. I mean, you know, and it's the same thing where you would see a really, really good player have a bad stretch or bad, like right now, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not a bad player.
But
Tom Brady's not playing well. So one bad stretch does not make you a bad player. That has to be applied when it's a good stretch. One good stretch doesn't make you a great player because you had that good stretch when everything else you've ever done in your career says you're a guy. And that's all I'm saying. So that's the way I look at it. So it's not a personal attack or anything like that. I'm just saying your career has shown me that you're this type player. I know you're capable of really good stuff. You wouldn't be in the NFL if you weren't capable of it. But I just know you can't do that in stretches. Or you would have been doing it in stretches.
Consistency, right? Consistency matters.
The league is not about being good. It's about being consistent, bro. So, I'm glad he's here right now because we need him.
Well, and I'm glad about that too. He's changed the offense dramatically since. I mean, we've seen a tick in yards, a tick in points as well in terms of this offense since he joined the team. Jordan Mason got some carries, We'll see who, if he's the guy along with C-Mac now that Elijah Mitchell is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Tough blow for him. Tough blow for the team, obviously. So, you know,
Elijah Wilson. I wonder if they ever would have gotten on the field.
So hopefully,
I mean, there's a lot of injuries there. That's all I'm saying.
Wishing a speedy recovery for Mitchell. Unfortunate for him. Subscribe on YouTube. Give us a like on YouTube. Believe in 49ers, and you should see, you know, this episode or some of our previous episodes. Go ahead and give those some likes as well. From my partner, Super Bowl champion Eric Davis, I'm Rashawn Haylock. This has been Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. We'll see y'all later.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.